It's Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. To get in on the golf talk, call 1-888-760-3776. That's 888-760-ESPN. Email the show at golfexchange@thehondaclassic.com. Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, is also brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa, the Palm Beach Kennel Club, the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach, Village Golf Club, Chili's Grill and Bar, and Trans World Business Brokers. Here's Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760 and streaming live at ESPN760.com.
All right, good morning. Happy Sunday to you, and welcome to the show. It is the fourth day of May. The year is 2008. Another edition of Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, is on the air. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. We will be with you for the next 2 hours, taking you up to 10 o'clock this morning. Colin Holder is behind the glass. That's your cast of characters today with you for the next 120 minutes. 888-760-3776 is the number to jump in on the Golf Talk. You can also email the show, golfexchange@thehondaclassic.com, and of course you can listen via live streaming audio at the official tournament website, thehondaclassic.com. Patrick Rooney Jr., good morning to you. Can you believe it? We're already into May, fifth month of the year already.
I know, it's just flying by, Russ. Getting golf geared up here a little bit. I've actually got a chance to play a little bit this past week, so yeah, we're getting into summer. It's going to get hotter. But that means
it's already getting hotter.
The clubs come out of the woodwork for me, and I actually get to start playing a little
bit. I think about maybe a month ago was the first day of the year that was in the 90s. Now we're having days in the 90s every other day. And it was in the 90s yesterday. Played a little bit yesterday morning down in Broward County, and it was a scorcher yesterday. Getting a little hot, but that's good news because the greens fees start to come down.
Yes, correct.
So that's good news. So it's definitely a great time of the year for golf, and we have got a big-time show in store for you today. A lot to get to today. Just about 10 minutes from now at 8:15, former PGA Tour pro Jerry McGee will be joining us. Jerry won the 1979 Kemper Open, and you ask, well, why is that important? Well, the 1979 Kemper Open, the final Kemper that was held at Quail Hollow Club, which is now the host of the Wachovia Championship. We'll get to the Wachovia leaderboard in just 1 second. So it'll be fun talking to Jerry McGee, who won that Kemper Open. We'll get his thoughts on that win almost 30 years ago and how the Quail Hollow Club has changed between now and then. At 8:30 this morning, James Gelfand from the PGA National Resort and Spa will be joining us. We'll talk about Mother's Day and what the PGA National Resort and Spa can offer for mom. 8:40 this morning, it's our Golf, Business, and Law segment, sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. I'm not a lawyer, just a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. The sports professor, Rick Harrow, will be joining us, and we'll talk Kentucky Derby as, of course, yesterday, Big Brown won the Kentucky Derby by 5 lengths. 8 Bells coming in second. Sad story, though. 8 Bells had to be euthanized immediately after the race. It was a very sad story. But we'll talk to Rick about the economic impact of the Kentucky Derby on Kentucky. And also, we'll tie it into golf by looking ahead a couple of months to the Ryder Cup, which will be held at Valhalla. And we'll kind of compare the economic impact of that event to what the Kentucky Derby brings to Kentucky. But, Pat, obviously, Kentucky Derby and horse racing close, near and dear to your heart. And good news for the Palm Beach Kennel Club yesterday, as wagering was allowed.
Yeah, we had to wheel and deal, as they say, Russ, at the last minute. It's a very complicated system how you get the telecasts from Churchill Downs or any other tracks through the country. You don't get them directly from the track. They have to come in from a horse track into Florida. And Calder, which is where we normally get the telecast from, was having some difficulty with their horsemen, but the Kentucky horsemen, who have some say in who gets the signal, did not want to give it to Florida. Based on some slot machines that they think they're going to have at Calder in 2 years, the horse guys wanted some revenue from that. So long story short, we figured out a way to get it done. Hopefully, we'll be able to do it for the Preakness, because it's going to be an issue in 2 weeks, too. It's not settled. It's something that we've sort of put a Band-Aid on just to get it yesterday. But very happy to at least have it for yesterday, as it's always the biggest day of the year at the track.
Yeah, Kentucky Derby is the biggest day, and of course, Big Brown will be in the news for the next few weeks leading up to the Preakness, and everyone will be wondering, will he be able to be the first horse in 30 years to win the Triple Crown? 9:05 this morning, 1 hour from now, it's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment, as we do each and every week, taking a look at a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. We'll be talking with ADT Championship Assistant Director, Championship Director Judy Dickinson at 9:30. 6:30 this morning, we'll talk about Annika Sorenstam qualifying for the ADT field in our ADT Championship Spotlight segment. And we'll also talk about Lorena Ochoa going for a fifth straight victory today in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I love that. I love that, the name of that city. Broken Arrow. Broken Arrow, Oklahoma at the SEM Group, although she enters today's final round 8 shots back, so it's looking unlikely that she will set that LPGA record. And then at 9:45 this morning, Pat Murphy, the news director at Channel 12, the sports director at Channel 12, will be joining us. We'll talk about Pat's charity golf outing coming up this Saturday, May 10th, at Jonathan's Landing. You also, along the way, have a chance to win a $25 Chili's Grill and Bar gift certificate. It's our weekly Chili's Golf Trivia. And, of course, we will end the show with our Palm Beach Kennel Club Fearless Predictions, as we do each and every week. And let's get to that leaderboard right now. It's the PGA Tour's Wachovia Championship, one of the best events on tour all year long, at the 7,400-yard par 72 Quail Hollow Country Club track in Charlotte, North Carolina. And after 3 rounds of play, Anthony Kim, the 22-year-old phenom, is leading. He is at 13 under par 203, 4 shots ahead of Heath Slocum and Jason Bone, tied in second at -9. You got a 2-way tie for the fourth spot. Stuart Sink and Dudley Hart, a Florida Gator, are both at 8 under par. Jeff Ogilvie and Jim Furyk are both at 7 under par, 6 shots back of Anthony Kim. And then you've got Pat Perez. Freddie Couples, at the age of 48, continues to play well. And Vijay Singh, he's in his mid-40s as well. All three of those men are at -6. Adam Scott, week after coming off that win at the Byron Nelson, and Phil Mickelson are both at 5 under par. And then you've got 5 men at -4, 9 shots back. J.B. Holmes, Nick O'Hearn, Steve Flesch, Hunter Mahan, and Ben Curtis. But Pat, after 3 rounds of play, Anthony Kim is leading, and he's come close a number of times to getting his first ever PGA Tour win, most recently at Hilton Head a couple weeks ago at the Heritage. Couldn't get it done there, but looking like he will likely get it done today, and in my opinion, I think he will go on to notch his first career victory, first of what many think will be many, because he is such a gifted player.
Yeah, 4 strokes is a lot, Russ. You know, anytime a guy has 3 shots or more in a PGA event, it's difficult for them to relinquish that, because most tour pros, the worst they're going to shoot, when they're playing this well, is probably 1 or 2 under par, meaning that the guys behind him are going to have to shoot 6, 7 under par just to catch him. So all signs are that Anthony's in control here. But as you know, trying to get that first win on the PGA Tour is extremely difficult, and I do think nerves are going to play a role here today. Kim's still relatively young. This is the guy, if you remember, a couple of years ago when we did that Lori's event at Bears Club, Ian Baker Finch said this is like the young guy to watch.
Right. Yep.
And maybe today it happens, and you're right. I mean, odds are it is going to happen for him. But, man, even with a 4-shot lead, those first few holes are really going to be telltale for him. If he can get through those par or a little bit better and settle down, I think he'll be okay. But, man, if he has a bogey or two, especially in the beginning, could be anybody's game, really.
Anthony Kim going into today's final round with a 4-shot lead. The final pairing yesterday was Kim and Jason Bone, and Bone is one of the players tied in second, although he got into the clubhouse after Heath Slocum. So today's final pairing will be Slocum and Kim, and Bone will be in the next to last pairing. Great story about Jason Bone. As a sophomore at the University of Alabama in 1992, he was playing in a charity tournament. He made a hole in one, and he won $1 million, and he turned professional right on the spot. And he was talking.
Wouldn't you?
I don't blame him at all. And it's interesting because Jim Nance and Nick Faldo were talking about this on yesterday's coverage on CBS. And Nance mentioned that now, today, the USGA has amended the rule so you can accept prizes and charity outings like hole-in-one prizes and still retain your amateur standing. But back then in 1992, he couldn't do that. So 15 years ago, Jason Bone on the telecast yesterday saying that he gets $50,000 a year on October 1st every year for 20 years. He's got 5 more years left to get in the $50,000 every year on October 1st.
Not bad, not bad.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Get your career kick-started, so to speak.
He said the only disappointment was having to cut his college golf career short at the University of Alabama. But, $1 million, I mean, kind of, it's kind of worth it, is it not?
Hey, if it's a car, it's one thing, but $1 million, that's a lot of money to turn down.
Speaking of the SEC, a Florida Gators in the top five there, Pat. I know you noticed that. Dudley Hart, who is also a local player. He had a house down in Fort Lauderdale for a number of years. Doesn't live there anymore. He moved up to Buffalo. His wife, you'll remember, had the softball-sized tumor in her lung, and she had to have the surgery, and he had to take the medical exemption this year. Has made enough money, thankfully, that he retained his tour card, but he shot 67 on Friday, 500 par 67 on Friday. He followed it up with a 2-under par 70 yesterday. He's at minus 8 through 3 rounds of play, 5 shots back at Kim, but his 67 on Friday was his lowest round of the year, so nice to see Dudley Hart finally kind of getting back to that form that he showed a couple years ago as one of the, you know, top 50 players in the world.
Yeah, as you mentioned, a local guy here at one point and really a nice guy. So you're right, it's good to see some of these guys. Jason Boney mentioned Heath Slocum. There's some guys there that, you know, are around that leaderboard every once in a while but don't get a chance to win that much, and today they're gonna have that chance.
And, Pat, we talk about it every year. Every year that the PGA Tour rotation makes its way to Charlotte, we talk about the Quail Hollow Club as one of the best tracks on the PGA Tour. The players love it. Tiger Woods, he's the defending champion. He's, of course, not here because he had the knee injury and had to have the knee surgery, so he's out of commission. He would have been here had he not been on the shelf because of the knee surgery, but he loves Quail Hollow. All the other players do as well. It's one of the best tracks on tour. It was originally designed in 1959 by George Cobb, and then it was redesigned twice. By Arnold Palmer in 1986, and then by Tom Fazio in 2003. The Fazio redesign in 03, getting ready for the Wachovia, which began in 2003 there at Quail Hollow. But it's got a drivable par 4, which we always say it's very important for a great track to have at least one drivable par 4, the par 4 14th hole, which yesterday they had the tees up. It was playing 280. Some guys were hitting that green with hybrids because it was playing downhill, downwind. The last three holes are the three toughest holes on the course, a par 4 16th, par 3 17th, which this week is playing as the toughest hole on the course, and then that tough par 4 18th with the kind of that sinuous little creek meandering down the left side of the fairway. But in 2007, the Quail Hollow closing three holes were the second toughest closing three holes on the PGA Tour. The only tougher closing three holes was Carnoustie. Numbers 3 and 4 on that list were Oakmont and Augusta. So Quail Hollow is in, you know, it's
good company.
It's in the neighborhood of majors. And a lot of people have said they could have a U.S. Open or a PGA Championship at Quail Hollow tomorrow.
Yeah, I had a chance to walk this course about 3 years ago. I went to the third round of the Wachovia and walked those holes for us. And I'm telling you, 16 is a tough hole, tough green, but 17 is very intimidating. It's usually a pretty long tee shot, essentially to an island green, similar to 17 at TPC, but it's longer. It's a long shot and very intimidating, like a two-tiered green there. Depending on where they put the pin, it can be a very difficult putt. And then 18 is just, you know, like you mentioned, that little creek, and it's very small, but it's
it catches
ideally
a lot of balls.
it's ideally placed because it does. It catches a lot of balls, and then if you hit the thing right, which a lot of players do, you're in the tree. So it is, and that's what I'm saying with Anthony Kim today. He cannot come to those two holes needing two pars or needing a birdie or something like that, because they're you know, pressure-wise and the difficulty of them, I just think it's going to be a lot. He needs to go to those holes with at least a couple shot lead.